This morning's lesson's about respect. And certainly, we live in a time when our society and our culture doesn't respect a lot of things that it used to in the past. And how sad that is. Especially, our society has lost respect for things that are very important. Things like the Lord's church. This morning's title is Renewing Respect for the Lord's Church. And I borrowed that title from a gospel preacher named James Ferris. I like that title. I think that's what our society, and that's what the church needs. You know, the church needs to renew respect for itself. And so our goal this morning is to look at why we should respect the church, what's right about the church, and then what should we do to help renew respect for the church? It's a vital, vital message. I hope you take some notes, but if you don't, that's great. Hopefully you'll remember some of this and you'll leave with a renewed respect for the Lord's church. And notice I say singular. The Bible knows nothing of a multitude of churches that the Lord built. There is one. It's the Lord's church. Ephesians chapter 5 says that He came to sanctify the church. He didn't sanctify a number of different religious groups. He sanctified, set apart, one, singular. Even though we look out in our world and see all this religious diversity, the Bible knows nothing of that. The Bible knows of the Lord's church, period. And it's that for which we need to renew respect. So why should people respect the church? Three reasons to begin with. First of all, it was in God's eternal purpose. Open your books to Ephesians chapter 3. Hope you have your Bibles with you. We have certainly a lot of verses we want to look at. Ephesians chapter 3. And we'll begin reading in verse 10. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. This is what Paul writes. To the intent, to the purpose, that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. And notice what it says next. According to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. What was according to the eternal purpose? That God's wisdom would be shown, displayed in the church. The church was not an afterthought. The church was not an accident. The church wasn't something that God decided to begin because the Jewish people rejected His Son. The church was in God's eternal purpose. He always planned on having the church. So when it began there in Jerusalem and Acts chapter 2 in the first century, God knew exactly where it would start. He knew how it would start. He knew who would preach that first gospel sermon, the first complete gospel sermon. So it has been in God's eternal purpose. That's one reason we should respect the church. All the other religious groups in the world today, all the various Protestant denominations and Catholic groups and others, none of these were in God's eternal purpose. It was only His Son's church that was in His eternal purpose. Number two, why should we respect the church? Because Christ built it. Matthew 16, 18. I'm sure you've heard this verse many times, but you need to hear it again. Matthew 16, verse 18. Jesus says to Peter, "And I also say to you that you're Peter, and on this rock I will build My church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." says, I will build my church. Why should we respect the church? Because Jesus was the one that built it. Jesus did not build any other church or religious group. None. He built His church. The third reason we should respect the church is because He is the head of it. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul writes to the church at Colossae and says this, verse 18. He, referring to Christ, is the head of the body, the church. He's the head of the body, the church. No other church or religious group or whatever on earth can claim that Christ is the head of it. None. Christ is the head of His church. He's the head of it because the church is His body. Those are three tremendous reasons why you and I and the world should respect the church. It was in God's eternal purpose. Christ built it, and He's the head of it. What is right about the church? I know you hear a lot about sometimes what's wrong with the church. But on the divine side, what's right about the church? And certainly there could be a lot of reasons about what is right about the church. Number one, its message is right. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, this is what Paul writes. This is the message. This is what Paul preached wherever he went. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 1 and following. This is what Paul preached. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you. What did Paul preach to them? He says, the gospel, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. What were they going to be saved by? The gospel. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you. They had to hold fast to it. Unless you believed in vain. Now this is what he says he delivered to them. This was the central idea of the gospel. This is what it all revolved around. This was the foundation of it. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. What was that? That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He died for our sins, and it was exactly like the Scriptures had said. But that's not everything. What else? He was buried. He was actually buried in the ground. He really died on the cross and He was really buried. But that's not the end of the story. What else? That He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul says that's the main message of what I have preached to you and every other church. What? That Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, He was buried, and that He rose again according to the Scriptures. Now, if that were not true, nothing else in the Bible would matter. Nothing would matter. Why? Because no one would ever have been saved. So no wonder that is the central message of the gospel. And that's what the church preaches. That's the message of the church. That's what's right about the church. It preaches that that really happened according to the Scriptures. And we need to be reminded of that continually. Number two, what's right about the church? Its purpose is to carry on Christ's mission. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Verse 10. This is a great verse. One we probably need to have memorized. Luke chapter 19 verse 10 says, for the Son of Man, this is Jesus speaking, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was Christ's mission. That's your mission and that's my mission. To do what? Seek and save that which was lost. That's what the church is to do. Continually be involved in that. It was Christ's mission. It's our mission. That's one of the things that's right about the church. We're not a social club. We're not a civic organization. We're not a government agency. We're none of those things. Nor are we to become one. Because that's not our mission. It's not our purpose. What's right about the church is its doctrine. Acts chapter 17, we have a very familiar passage. Verse 11. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. This is something else that's right about the church. Acts 17, verse 11. Talking about those in Berea. The Christians in Berea. These were more fair-minded, the King James says noble, than those in Thessalonica. Now this is what they did that made them noble and honorable. What'd they do? And that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. That's the church in Berea right there he's talking about. That's what's right about the church. We receive the word and we check the scriptures to see whether those things are so. That's what's right about the church. And there are many, many other reasons we could give if we had more time. But the message is right, the purpose is right, and the doctrine is right. Those are three things that's right about the church. And those are reasons we should respect and honor the church. Then, on a practical side, this is what you and I can do. Number three, what should we do to help renew respect? What should we do to help renew respect? There's a number of places we could go to find probably a huge list of things. I wrote down like four or five. And you've probably heard them before, but maybe you've not put them all together. Because all of these things will help us and the world to renew respect for who we are. Because we're owned by Christ. We're His special prized possession. We're rich. What are some of those things? And again, some of these things aren't original by me. I know you've heard them many times. But number one, how can we help renew respect? Be unashamed of the gospel. Have you ever been ashamed of what the gospel said? Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why wasn't Paul ashamed of it? Because it was the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. It was God's power. Remember we read that was how they were saved, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. By which you are saved. That's how the Corinthians were saved. How? By the gospel. It's God's power to salvation. That's why we should never be ashamed of it. Regardless of what we read in it, we should never, ever be ashamed of what it says. So if I want to start renewing respect for the church, I need to make sure I'm never, ever ashamed of the gospel. And nothing that it says should cause me to be ashamed ever under any circumstances. Because it's God's power to save people. Number two, I should never be ashamed of keeping God's commandments. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 tells us this. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." I should never be ashamed when I keep any of His commandments. Regardless of what those commandments are, I should never be ashamed of doing them. Now think about some of the things we're to do. You know, we're to live very moral lives and lives of integrity and honesty, and we're to be sincere, and we're not supposed to have certain types of relationships and go certain types of places. I should never be ashamed of doing what God wants me to do, in other words. Never be ashamed of that. That will help renew respect for the church. I respect people when they follow a certain moral code. And so should you. Number three, how can I help renew respect? I need to fight all kinds of religious error. 1 John chapter 4, if you've still on the same page maybe in your Bible, you'll find verse 1 of 1 John chapter 4. It says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." I need to know what the Bible says, and I need to be able to defend what the Bible says. When people know who I am, they need to know that I know what the Bible says. I'm always impressed when I'm talking to someone that knows a lot about the Bible. The one way to renew respect for the Lord's church is to make sure we know what the Bible says and what it says. That's your responsibility. That's my responsibility. When people see us as people who know what they're talking about and know why they believe and know why they act and know why they worship this way, that will help renew respect for the Lord's church. And I think at one time, that was very true. And maybe we kind of slid a little bit in that respect. But we need to be able, as the Bible says, to give an answer, to give a reason for our hope. We need to be able to do that. It will help renew respect for the church. We need to reach out to other people. Just look at the life of Christ. When you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what was Christ continually doing? He was reaching out to other people. Usually, it was people that others had kind of left out, right? Look at some of the people. He talked to the Samaritan woman at the well, right? And that was two things that Jewish men were told not to do. Don't talk to a Samaritan and don't talk to a woman. And then if you talk to a Samaritan woman, that was like twice as bad. But Jesus didn't let that stop him. Jesus would reach out to all kinds of people. People who were sick, people who were possessed by demons, others who people didn't want anything to do with, tax collectors. I mean, they were like some of the most looked down upon people of the first century. But that didn't stop Jesus. He was reaching out to people. If we want to renew respect for the Lord's church, we need to reach out to other people. The common people. Sometimes the ones that people thought were unlovable. And what do we need to do? Well, then we need to show care and compassion. In James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Verse 14. James chapter 2, verse 14. James writes this, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Our faith says that we're to show compassion for people. People who are hurting, people who are in need. We need to show care. Not just tell them we care, but show them we care. In 1 John chapter 3, we were there a little while ago. 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. John writes, "Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, How does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. If we want to renew respect for the Lord's church, both inside and outside, we need to show care and compassion for people who are hurting. So how can we renew respect? Never be ashamed of the gospel. It's God's power to salvation. Never be ashamed of the fact that you're keeping his commandments, because that shows that we love God. We need to fight doctrinal error. Know why we believe what we believe and be able to give a reason to people. Why we do this, why we do that. And then show care and compassion for those who are hurting, those who are in need. All of those things will help renew respect for the Lord's church. There's a lot of reasons why people should respect the church. But it has to start with within. The Lord's church needs to renew their respect for the Lord's church. That's where it needs to start. It needs to start there instead of the world. We need to understand that it is a unique thing. There's nothing like the Lord's church in the world. Nothing like it. Not even close. Peter says we're a royal priesthood. We're what? We're a peculiar people, which the idea in the original means that we're something very special to God, unlike any other group. We are special. It's an honor and a privilege to be a part of the body of Christ. That's how we need to talk to people. That's how we need to have. That's the attitude we need to have. That should motivate us, because it's the most unique group ever. We truly are God's prized possession. Let's renew honor and let's renew respect for the Lord's church, because it certainly deserves that thing, that very thing. God planned it throughout eternity. Christ built it, and he's the head of it. He told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Those that believe and are baptized shall be saved. That hasn't changed. Those who believe and baptized are still saved today. And the power is in the gospel. It still is. Let us never be ashamed of it. This morning, if it's your desire to be immersed for the forgiveness of your sins, or to ask for prayers of the congregation to give you strength, we encourage you to come now as we stand and sing this song.